In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast that's brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name is Pastor Ken Keltner. I'm the senior pastor. I'm glad to have Jack Gardner with us. Jack has been a great help to me in the ministry of Word for Life. Well, let me just say, in reminding you of where we've been in our study, we've been in the book of Joshua. And we're going to conclude this week with chapter 2 of Joshua, which is all about Rahab. And I don't know, Jack, if as we've been going through this, if anything stands out in your mind about Rahab and all that God's been doing, not only in her life, but through her life and through her actions. I mean, her faith is demonstrated, obviously, by actions, and she's mentioned as one of the only two women in Hebrews chapter 11. Anything jump out at you about Rahab and...
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's amazing to me how, and again, you see this time and time again with her and other people, how God manages, you know, to take the imperfection of someone, the mess, the things that are not so great, things that need work, and he can still do great things through those people who recognize him, that know he's the one true Lord, and how he can work good for those that love him. That is like... The theme of her, and you see it so many other times in people that we as humans would just give up on, you know, when we ourselves are a mess too, you know, and yet you see the wonders of God work through them.
Exactly. When we come to the Lord in salvation, we don't try to clean our life up and then, okay, I'm ready for you, Jesus, to come into my life. I want you to be my Savior to save me. I was visiting with someone this last week even. And I said, you know, you don't clean your life up. You come to him and then he saves you. And the Spirit of God then starts to work and you start to grow in your faith and you see changes taking place. You know, Paul talked about, you know, when we're a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there starts to become a change.
You know, it's funny. After I came to know the Lord, you know, and saved, I used to listen to certain music, right? And I don't know if I even put this together in the moment, but I don't listen to a lot of the music that I used to now. And the funny thing about God is that it didn't happen kicking and screaming, I want to listen to that. You mean I can't, you know?
Yeah.
But over time, God just emptied me of it. And to the point where it's like, no, I don't even have the desire to do that. And obviously, what people listen to are all different. I'm just saying that when the Lord gets a hold of you and then you start to kind of examine lyrics and examine things that you couldn't see with your own eyes. And of course, there he is opening the eyes of the blind to the process of sanctification. You see it for what it is and suddenly it doesn't have the same allure. And when you do put it down, you're like, eh, because you want to, not because you're clawing at it, because, you know, he's taking away something you love. That's the beauty of God that I've seen, even in that area.
Yeah, and, you know, what God asks of us, Paul recorded in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, whatever you say, basically, do all to the glory of God. My dad would hammer that principle into my life, the principle of do all, that whatever you're going to do, you do it all for the glory of God. In fact, our theme this year at Brookside, we have a theme each year, but our theme this year is taken from that passage in 1 Corinthians 10, to God be the glory. And all of a sudden, God does start to chip off those edges and those things that have been, that will hurt us spiritually, God begins to remove.
In so many different areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it in my own life.
Well, let me jump into chapter 2 here. As we've been studying about Rahab, she was absolutely courageous in her faith because her life was on the line, taking in these spies that Joshua had sent in to spy out Jericho. And then we see a confessional aspect of her faith. I mean, she took God right at his word because in verse 8 of chapter 2, she is taking care of the spies. She's taking them up to the roof. And she says, now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land. that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. She goes into that example, and then also of the two kings of the Amorites that God actually brought judgment on. She brought all of those up. But the one aspect that phrase stood out to me, she says, I know. She took God at his word from what she had just heard about the God of Israel. And then today we're going to look how confident she was in her faith. And now remember, Rahab was in a hostile, difficult environment. I mean, Jericho had was a mighty fortress, had great walls. I mean, their citizens would have thought, Titanic doesn't have anything on us. I mean, nobody's getting in this city. Nobody's going to take us down.
Yeah, they had every reason to be confident, right?
Exactly. I mean, a couple of just massive walls, and she was pressured by really the powerful society that she lived in, and the ancient culture continuing on in its normal life. I mean, they were eating and drinking and marrying and so forth. But at that moment, she could see nothing with her eyes that indicated that it would fall. But this non-Jew believed and passed from the kingdom of the Amorites really into the kingdom of the Jews, because she's going to be saved and her family. We're going to get into that in our study today, because she was willing to be obedient to what was the answer to her request for safety. But she really passed, Jack, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear son. You know, the book of Hebrews makes a tremendous statement about Rahab, paralleling her to those heroes of the faith. When the writer says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. I mean, that is powerful. That's basically saying she believed, and a whole city, a whole culture that she'd grown up with, believed not, even though they were terrified of the God of Israel. You know, how many people know about God? No, there has to be something after this life. I mean, Solomon put it pretty plainly there in Ecclesiastes 3 that God has put eternity into the hearts of men. I mean, people can say, no, I don't believe it. Jack, one of my favorite expressions, especially dealing with those who would claim to be an atheist, is no one is born an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're educated to be an atheist. And you see this whole city basically, nah, even though they're fearful, even though they're trembling, we've heard about that God. We heard about the Red Sea. We heard about what happened to the powerful Egyptian army and Pharaoh. They were lost at sea because God brought the walls of the Red Sea down on top of them. But this faith of this harlot Rahab, she didn't perish because she believed. She had confidence in God's word. So her faith was confident.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exercised. I mean, it was expressed. She allowed these spies to get away after she sent the others on a wild goose chase, and then she requested her family be saved. Why don't you look at reading for us verses 15 to 21 of chapter 2, Jack?
Sure. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head. And we will be guiltless, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window.
You know, one thing that's kind of lost in all this too, Jack, is the spies put their life on the line.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
They were right there. They were, I'm sure the king of Jericho didn't have a lot of good things he was going to do with them if he caught them.
But that's a very interesting point because, you know, and like you said, they were like special ops people. I mean, it took a tremendous amount of courage on their end.
Yeah. And then to be spotted.
Mm-hmm.
With, I'm sure, all of the, what they were trying to do to come into the city incognito. But so she's supposed to put this scarlet cord out in the window, and she did. And so her faith acted on what was told to her. And in that, she hung that red cord out the window to identify her house. You know, it's not our good deeds or growing up in a Christian family that gives us saving faith. I think every Bible teacher who has ever studied the Old Testament sees in color that cord that was to be hung outside her window. The cord was a red scarlet, the symbol of the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, Jack, how fitting it is for the sign of her redemption to really be marked in red.
Mm.
How fitting it is for the sign that was given to the Jewish people there on that doorpost of their homes before the Exodus from Egypt. The blood there on the doorpost and the lintel, it was to be there so the angel of death would see the blood and pass over. I mean, the judgment of God will pass over the household of Rahab when the army of Israel sees the sign of God in her window. And that red cord is what the soldiers would recognize.
Hmm.
You know, Jack, just as the red stream of Christ's blood is what God recognizes for the cleansing of sin and salvation, we have been, as believers, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no removal of our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you as you listen to Jack read that passage, but it seems to me that her prompt action with that scarlet cord really indicates that she didn't want any time to pass without that mark upon her house. That's like somebody saying, well, I don't want to trust Jesus today. I'll do that later on in my life. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, no, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. With this cord, she dwelt in safety, yet she still dwelt in Jericho, surrounded by her old culture until this city was destroyed. So we get ready to close our broadcast today. May I just say that this is exactly how it is for believers today. And Rahab is a tremendous example for us. You and I, as followers of Christ, have stepped from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I hope you never take that for granted. Yet we are still surrounded by a culture controlled by God's great enemy, Satan. We live in an anti-God culture today. And friends, you and I, as believers in Christ, need the type of courageous faith that Rahab demonstrated, because we can expect a battle because we're in a spiritual war. Joshua 6:25 says of Rahab, she dwells in Israel even unto this day. Isn't that wonderful? She lived the rest of her life as a citizen among God's people. The harlot who became a believer became a wife of the Prince of Judah. She became an ancestor of Jesus Christ. You know, the spies, Jack, returned safely, gave a wonderful report to Joshua. And let me just conclude with this ethical question that arises. Rahab's actions in protecting the spies involved the telling of a lie. Was her lie justified? Well, by commending her for her faith, is Scripture also condoning her methods? Let me just say, good godly theologians have argued over that question for many, many years. It's not an easy question. I can tell you this, that some have tried to argue that because of the situation, this was not technically a lie, but a military strategy, a legitimate strategy. Some have argued that it was okay to lie if the motive is greater good. I see no need to justify Rahab's lie. The Bible never condones the lie or commends the lie. The ethical question is not the concern here in this narrative. It stresses this, that she's to be applauded for her ethics, but she's actually applauded for her faith, and that she acted on her faith. You know, the motto of practical Christianity is, I will show you my faith by my works. I trust today as you go out, the Lord will be honored by your faith and your actions.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.